For this day is a portion of the Sermon on the Mount from Matthew chapter 5, verses 38 through 48. I would submit to you that these words directly from Jesus are some of the toughest words we hear in all of Scripture. Listen to these words of instruction from Jesus, words that need to be undergirded by God's amazing grace. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone wants to sue you to take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good. He sends his rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than the others? Do not even the pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. These are the words of God for us this day. I invite you to please be seated. As I warned you, if we are to take these words from Jesus' own lips seriously, I think that they are some of the toughest words in all of Scripture for us to live out. Let's pray about this. Gracious Lord, you instruct us from a heavenly perspective. It is only by your amazing grace that we can share the kind of love that you have first given us. In fact, of course, our love pales in comparison, but help us this day to be more Christ-like in our loving. That includes loving those who are not very lovable, those that it would be so much easier to hate or resist. But you and your word instruct us to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. Lord, give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we might live out these words that you have given us this day. In your name, amen. Listen again, you have heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. I don't know about you, but I think this has really got to be one of the hardest passages in all of Scripture. Am I alone in that thinking, or do any of you share those feelings with me? I have to confess, when I'm playing softball and an umpire calls a play in a way that I saw differently, or when an opposing player maybe says something or does something that irks me or gets under my skin, my first thoughts are not typically benevolent. They're just not. Love your enemies. Do good to those who harm you in some way or take advantage or seek to take advantage of you. How do you do that? Any of you share that struggle with me? It's one of the things you had to deal with in Pine Ridge, where there has been over the centuries so much hatred. How do we love in a way that is authentic and is above suspicion and reproach? It's only God that can enable us to love in that way when the love is not necessarily reciprocated. As a pastor, I have often heard many stories, even within families, of tensions, of problems, of people who feel like they've been treated unfairly? How do they not only love enemies, but how do they even begin to love their families in some of those situations? I want you to listen one more time to the gospel. This time I want to simply read it for you. And as I read it, if you would just kind of cling to each word, and this time instead of just listening, would you pray that God would give you his spirit to be able to live these words? When Jesus spoke them, he was not just speaking theory. He was speaking, this is the way God wants us to live in a kingdom culture. This is not an earthly, but rather a kingly culture. Listen one more time to these words from Jesus. You have heard that was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Now, just a quick background to that as you listen and pray. In that day, there was a special code, the code of Hammurabi, in which they limited the amount of vengeance you could inflict upon another person. In fact, there was a time when if somebody stole a loaf of bread, you could cut off their hand. If somebody did a sin with their eye, you could pluck it out. If somebody did something to harm you, you could seek great revenge, even put them to death. But he said you need to limit the amount of vengeance. That's what the code was all about. But even in this teaching, he says, no, we're going to go beyond that code in which you just do tit for tat. We're going to go even beyond that. I'm going to tell you this, and now I'm going to read again and you can pray. I tell you this, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. You know, even praying for it, it doesn't get any easier. It's tough stuff, these words from God. From our country's borders to company boardrooms, how do we apply these words of Jesus? From our foes to our families, how do we apply these words of Jesus? From softball to social issues, how do we apply these words of Jesus? From racism to skepticism, how do we apply these words of Jesus? From me to we, how do all of us apply these words of Jesus? I confess I find it difficult. But recently I was introduced to a man by Judd Olson, one of our very own, who comes here to Good Shepherd. He's a member of Good Shepherd, part of our Good Shepherd family. Judd introduced me to a man by the name of Hisham Shahab. Hisham Shahab was born an extremist Muslim. Hisham Shahab was growing up in Lebanon, and there was great tension between the Christians and the Muslims. His first real encounter with a Christian was one day when he was playing marbles out in a field, just playing by himself. And a Christian, so-called Christian boy, older boy, came by with a board that had a nail in it. And seeing this Muslim, He took the board and whacked him across the face, leaving a still visible scar above one eye. The tensions were intense between the Muslims and the Christians, so-called Christians, in Lebanon. And later on, in just in a moment, you're going to see a video, but I want to give you this backdrop. Later on, because of Christian love, because of those who showed authentic Christian love, and because of a pastor who helped him to understand this passage of Scripture, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, he realized that something in his Muslim faith was leaving him empty. And when he heard this passage of Scripture and saw the Christians with whom he had been spending some time in school living these words out instead of the encounter in the field, something sunk deep into his heart. They were living out loving your enemies as opposed to his encounter in the field. And he knew that they had something that he did not have. He called it supernatural spiritual power. It was an incredible kind of experience. He had focused on this passage of Scripture, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. And later on, he led a reconciliation initiative to bring peace between two groups. One group, a so-called Christian group, who had killed his one and only brother, and he sought to assist a Syrian intelligence officer in Lebanon who back in the 1980s had tortured his wife, had kidnapped and tortured his wife for over 6 months. Later on, when Hisham Shahab resettled in the United States in the Wheaton area, he encountered some people who helped him take it one step further, and he even helped resettle this Syrian intelligence officer and pay his rent. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. That's another level of Christian love. Well, let's hear Hisham's story from his own lips.
My brother, who used to provide for me with together only brother, my only sibling, was killed and by a Christian militia, so I decided to take revenge. I was at the climax of my hatred when I read Love Your Enemies, and I felt this is superhuman. I knew the Quran almost by heart by then, but the Bible was a new thing to me, and I was fascinated by the way he said, blessed be the peacemakers, you see, and I thought maybe this is a way out to heal my heart, my broken heart.
Only God could say such words, and that's powerful.
How can somebody love his enemies? It was not something theoretical to me. It was something I was facing every day, stalking them at night with a gun and a silencer, you see. So the message of forgiveness was very real to me.
That's taking God's message to another level. That's an incredible expression of love. You've heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, if someone strikes you on the cheek, turn to him the other also. Last week, we celebrated Father's Day. And there was a big sign out front that read, high five a dad today. I thought that because we were going to focus on turning the other cheek, that as a follow-up to High Five a Dad today, we should have a Turn the Other Cheek Sunday here at Good Shepherd. The worship committee didn't really pick up on that. They felt that that might be misunderstood and misinterpreted, and so it never went any further. And I don't know what they were talking about. I thought it was a great idea, but it didn't go any further. What's important about this text and hearing Hisham's words are these. It gives us an opportunity to present the salvation message to those who need to hear it. Jesus takes expression of God's love to another level. Why? For the sake of the salvation message. This is really cloak and dagger stuff. When he says, if someone wants to sue you to take your tunic, which is your undergarment, then give to him your outer garment, your cloak as well. In other words, turn the other cheek, give your cloak instead of using the dagger, our natural inclination. Do you know where the phrase going the extra mile comes from? It comes from Scripture. It comes from this passage. Back in Jesus' day, it was Roman law that you could, any Roman soldier, could conscript any citizen, any civilian, any person walking along the road. He could enforce that person to carry their pack for an entire mile. By law, they could force them to carry their pack for an entire mile. Jesus is saying, if that happens to you, don't carry it just 1 mile. Go the extra mile. Carry it 2 miles. And when you do so, do not miss that opportunity to share the God story with them. Tell them what you know about Jesus. Tell them what you know about God's love. And one of two things is going to happen. They're either going to get so sick and tired of hearing it from you, they're going to say, here, let me take my pack back. You can be on your way, never mind. Or God's going to work to transform their heart. God wants every opportunity to transform people's hearts. And conflict can be an opportunity to show God-like love. When you encounter conflict, when you encounter hatred, when an enemy confronts you, use it as an opportunity to show God's love because they need to hear the salvation message. They are far from God, and God may be giving you an opportunity to bring them into a relationship with God. It's God-like stuff. It's way beyond our human capabilities. The Apostle Paul would say it this way, I have learned in every circumstance to give thanks. Not just earthly thanks for things that happen, but eternal gratitude for opportunities to share the gospel even when it's not received well, even when I have to turn my cheek, even when I have to go the extra mile. See it from God's big picture, God's eternal vista, instead of our earthly short-sightedness. In Leviticus that Charlotte read for us, do not seek revenge or bear a grudge, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Are you familiar with the story surrounding the end of the spear? Do you know the story? If you want a good summer read, if you're looking for a good summer read, I would commend this book. I, of course, always commend the Bible as a good summer read. But in addition to that, I commend this book, The End of the Spear. It tells a true story about some missionaries from Wheaton, some missionaries nearby who went down to Ecuador. They encountered a tribe of people who had never been encountered by white people before. And they went down there with the intent of sharing the gospel with them, telling them the Jesus story. And in this true story, this actually happened in the shell area of Ecuador when they were seeking to establish a relationship with these people. The people who were naturally suspicious of them attacked them one day with their spears. They came after them. Now, you need to know that these missionaries had airplanes. They could have flown away, but they also had firearms in the front seats of their airplanes. They could have used their weapons to kill the natives. They chose not to. Why? Because they were afraid that these natives who hadn't yet heard God's salvation story might not go to heaven. And so because they knew God's salvation story, they knew where they were going to spend eternity, they would rather take a spear, as did our Savior on the cross, than to do anything to prevent somebody from hearing the salvation story. Sometime later, their very own relatives and others went down there, even though five of them had been killed, went down there, shared the salvation story with them, and they became believers in Jesus Christ. Love your enemies. Forgive those who persecute you, taking God's love to a whole new level. I want to be really honest. That goes way, way, way beyond my human capabilities. But only by God's love, God's Spirit, God's power can such love exist. Who is our neighbor? Who is our enemy? The Good Samaritan story chronicles it well, doesn't it? In Luke chapter 10, you know the story, I think, most of you. The story that Jesus tells about a Samaritan. When a Jewish person is going down the road, attacked by robbers, left for dead on the side of the road, and a Jewish priest walks by, a Jewish Levite walks by, people who are literally neighbors, and then an enemy, a Samaritan, walks by. No, he doesn't. He stops. And he cares for the Jewish person. Takes him to an inn after binding up all his wounds. Says, whatever more it costs, I will pay it. I'll pay the extra. I'll go the extra mile. Who is my neighbor? Who is my enemy? I wonder if we sometimes don't get so caught up in thinking externally that we forget to think internally. Is it possible that the enemy also resides within us? Pogo once said, we have met the enemy, and it is us. The Apostle Paul says it this way, the good that I would do, I don't, and the evil that I shouldn't do, I do. And Jesus says this, the last enemy to be destroyed is death. Yes, earthly, physical termination, death will be destroyed by Jesus, but also death to our selfish inclinations. That's a part of that passage as well. Should it be our prayer today that God might put to death all those feelings about others that could destroy us from within? Should it be our prayer today that God might work within us to rearrange our natural inclinations so that we might, by divine intervention, rewire our thinking into God-like thinking? This past week, I was talking with one of our Hesed House leaders, and they were saying, hey, you know, when you serve at Hesed House, there's joys and there's struggles. There's joys when you get to see somebody that is in need being helped, when you're caring for your neighbor. But oh, what a struggle it is when you see a little child living as a homeless person through no fault of their own. And you think, if that were my child, how would I feel? And there's struggle in that. And there's also struggle when you've worked hard to prepare a meal and one of the residents, most of them are very grateful, but a resident will come up and say, hey, how come there's no whipped cream for this pumpkin pie? Which, of course, would be the question I would ask. But when they don't express gratitude that you would expect, he said, I struggle with that. And one day after I was struggling with that, after everybody had been served, I took my meal and went back into the kitchen to eat it by myself. And one of our young students gathered a meal and went and sat with the residents, got to hear their stories, probably found out why they were so upset about no whipped cream. They took it to another level. They wanted to establish relationship. Who is my neighbor? Who is my enemy? In God's kingdom culture, these are critical questions. In God's kingdom culture, we are invited to look outside of ourselves at those people we would consider our natural enemies and look inside of ourselves to see our own enemy-like attitudes that prevent us from God's will and God's way, that get in the way of our way of living. In God's kingdom culture, we are invited to a new way of God's living and God's loving. Would you pray with me? Gracious Lord, this is a tough text. It's only by your divine intervention that we can even begin to scratch the surface of what it means to love enemies and pray for those who persecute us and do all those things that you encourage us to do in this scripture. But we thank you so much for the way in which your Spirit permeated Hashim and you worked in his life so that he could forgive those who killed his brother, so that he could help someone who tortured his own wife, and that he could therefore baptize that person 1 year later, because that person was loved by God as he was loved by his enemy. Lord, help us this day to live out your words. Help us this day to live kingdom culture. In your name, amen.